Antonio Delgado is a congressman in New York's 19th district. He's been in office since January 2019. That's just yesterday. Antonio, we've asked you a lot of stuff in the last couple of weeks, but I want to talk to you about the farmers. You got a lot of farmers in your district. And,
a lot of farmers.
And the Agriculture Committee has to worry about the impacts of Trump's trade policies on local farmers. And I know that you've appointed a local agriculture advisory committee. How's it all working out?
Yes. I mean, I'm very proud to date of the work we've been able to do in the farming space, whether it's making sure that we get behind legislation to get whole milk back in schools, whether it's making sure that I create a Ag Committee Council consisting of over 40 members all across the district, bipartisan membership. We actually had our first meeting, I think it was 2 weeks ago, a tremendous turnout. We talked about a host of issues, chief among them, the need to create a local marketplace for folks to actually have the ability to sell their goods to the local economy. And for me, one of the things that I've tried to stress as a member of the Ag Committee is the lack of prioritization for our small family-owned farms. I had an exchange with Secretary Sonny Perdue on this very matter in the first Ag Committee hearing. I asked him what is being done to help our dairy farmers, what is being done to help our small family-owned farms in a way that allows them to deal with the global marketplace that is increasingly more competitive and is marginalizing farmers back home. And his answer was unsettling and unsatisfying. He said it was a matter of economies of scale and that he did not see fit to think about or how to preserve or maintain those farmers who are unable to make a profit. I responded and said, well, to me, that's more a lack of prioritization than it is anything else. When we are sending so many subsidies to the mega farmers and the corporate farmers, we're not making sure that we're doing the hard work of investing in the infrastructure that can empower our small and family-owned farms. When we're not thinking about things like on-site processing, when we're not thinking about things like the need for rural broadband to help our farmers access marketplaces, that is all a reflection of a lack of prioritization. There's no doubt that the global marketplace is competitive, but what are we doing as Americans? What are we doing here in D.C. to make sure that our farmers are actually not being left behind and that we're doing everything in our power to protect their interests? And so that, to me, is the real challenge here, is that we have a sort of groupthink here in D.C. that is way too much oriented to the mega corporate farming mentality, and not enough focuses on the young farmers, access to land, and making sure that we're protecting our farmland for generations to come. What are we doing to make sure that we actually can maintain the rural quality of life that is so invaluable here at home? We can talk about it and praise it and hold it up in high regard, but what are we practically doing to empower our farmers and to maintain the integrity of our rural quality of life? And to me, that is why I am on the Ag Committee. It is to take that fight to D.C. and to continue to do the work day in and day out.
Antonio Delgado, I guess I want to ask you something that's much in the news right now, and that has to do with the fact that the Trump administration and President Trump has given security clearances to people, and there's a whistleblower who's saying that that was a bad idea. Give us something to put on the radio about that.
Well, I mean, My thought is it's very troubling, and this all goes back to, you know, national security and protocol, and you know, we have procedures and processes in place for a reason, and when you begin to have a dynamic that appears to be at odds with what is customary, with what has been the tradition, what are the norms in terms of maintaining the integrity of our democracy and preserving the rule of law, you know, it's very concerning, and it needs to be investigated, and we need to make sure that we get to the bottom of it to just have a better understanding of how we are maintaining our democracy and maintaining that our checks and balances are actually functioning well.
Well, does this bother you in terms of just Trump and his character, that he would do something like this and ignore all of those things?
Well, here's what I'll say about the character issue. What I have a problem with is we all, I think, can agree that we are living in some very difficult, divisive times. And it appears, you know, time and time again that the administration seeks to fan the flames of division and create dynamics that are more partisan than they are bipartisan, and to pit groups against each other rather than seek ways to bring people together. And so we are now, it appears, in this vicious cycle of personal attacks and name calling, things that as a parent, as a father, I can tell you, you know, that are very unsettling, because we should be thinking about the world our children are growing up in, and what it means to be respectful to each other and civil to each other and kind and decent to each other. And to me, when you bring up the question of character, you know, it boils down to how do we engage with each other? How do we see the decency and the dignity in each other? And how do we get to a point where we can deal with some rather complicated issues, from climate change to stagnant wages to a crumbling educational public school system that's not getting the support that it needs, you know, to infrastructure and, of course, healthcare? If we can't tackle, we're not going to be able to tackle these difficult issues if we can't even have decent conversations with each other without the ad hominems or the name calling or the personal attacks. And we have a lot of that right now coming out of the White House. And I don't find it productive at all.
You mentioned family. You mentioned your kids. Tell me about that. Your job, I don't know how to put this nicely, but your job is a very hard one. Another way of saying is that, you know, it stinks. You got to get on a plane. You got to go to Washington. You got to leave the family. How do you do that?
It's a challenge. You know, one of the most difficult moments I've had since being a member of Congress was the day that my wife, Lacey, and our little boys, after spending a few days in D.C. here with me before the swearing in, had to go back home. And I had to say goodbye. Then they went to catch the flight back to upstate New York. And I didn't know it was going to hit me as hard as it did. But it was an emotional moment, you know, and I'll never forget that moment, because it really crystallized for me the sacrifice that is being made. And it's a real one. You know, I'm a very dedicated, or I like to think that I'm a very dedicated and involved father. I love my family mightily, and I love being around my wife and my children. And to not have that opportunity, you know, is difficult. But at the same time, you know, I tell myself, and Lacey and I talk about this a lot, you know, this is a very important job. It's critically important work. And to be able to raise our children in a household where this type of work is front and center, to me, is invaluable, because it gives me so many opportunities to speak about what it means to be an American, what it means to serve your country, what it means to understand how special this place actually is, but yet also how critical the work is that each and every one of its citizens makes sure that we live up to our full potential and continue to do the fight to protect and perfect our union. And so to me, you know, that's a trade-off that I'm willing to make, given the higher set of values and the outcomes that hopefully we can achieve collectively as a country. And that is not an easy thing to have to endure day in and day out. But when you step back and look at the big picture, you understand how important the work is and how we are collectively a part of this larger fight.
Well, my respect to you, Antonio Delgado. Thank you so much. We've enjoyed these last conversations, and it won't be long before we'll all be back together again. Thanks so much.
I appreciate the time, Alan. Always good to talk to you.